Ephesians chapter 4, 1 to 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Great, let me pray then. Lord, do thank you for your word, Lord, and we pray that you would teach us this morning, Lord, through your word. Lord, would you bury it deep into our hearts and our minds? Lord, would you show us how to live for you? Amen. Have you ever noticed how many cancer charities there are? There's literally hundreds and hundreds. And it seems a shame, really, that they don't all just pull their resources together. And what you have is you've got a whole different set of people aiming for slightly different goals and working separately. When things are united in goal and method, great things can happen. Now, the Channel Tunnel is one example. So there was one goal and one method to dig this tunnel underneath the channel, albeit that they came from different ends. They were united in their goal and method, but they weren't united in place or person. It makes you ask the question, when you are united in place and person and goal and method, what can be achieved? And the answer is amazing results, particularly when God is involved in that. So it begs the question for us this year, what's our goal? What's the goal for us this year? Indeed, what would be the goal for any year? And really for us, it's got to be church growth. That's what we want to aspire to. We want to grow this church to reach more and more people in the area. Preaching God's truth and holding out that truth to the lost is a given. That's the definition of a church. But we would be much more effective at doing that when we see some growth. Growth would be good in that. So how can we grow this congregation? How can we all play our part in it? And this is where this letter to the Ephesians, in fact the whole letter is really helpful in all of that, but this particular section is really helpful. Let's just have a quick overview of the letter. Just turn to chapter 1. In this letter to the Ephesians, which was written to a young church themselves, in chapter 1, in verse 10, verse 9 and 10, Paul lays out what's God's overall plan. Verse 9, chapter 1, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. And what is that? What is the ultimate plan? To bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. So God's ultimate plan is everything is going to be given to Christ. And flick to chapter 3. And one of the amazing parts about that plan, chapter 3 verse 10, is that it involves us. Chapter 3 verse 10, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So now, God's plan to put everything under Christ is going to be worked out through the church. God's kingdom is the church, and that's how it grows and builds. And that's a good start for us. When we want to look at how do we grow this church, how do we approach the new year, it involves us. And the amazing thing is, within this letter, everyone plays their part, just like an orchestra. Everyone plays their part. Everyone's in it, and everyone's playing their part, no matter how big or small that might be. Everyone gets to play their part. Back in chapter 4, in our section now, verse 16, right at the end. Verse 16, chapter 4. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So the question is, how do we do that? What's that going to look like for us? Because we want to see some growth. That's our goal. We want to see some growth. And we could all play our part in that. The first thing that this little section of this letter tells us is that we need unity in spirit. Unity in spirit. That's so important, because what unifies us is what unifies us. What brought us together is actually what keeps us together. That's the amazing thing. Let's pick this up from verse 3, chapter 4. Paul writes, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Our church should look like Christ. Because we're all in Christ, and that's what unifies us. One faith, one spirit, one truth, one purpose. And because of that, there's one goal. One truth, one goal. There is only one truth. There can be only one goal. There's only one purpose for the church, and that's to gather God's chosen elect people in order that others are gathered in also. And when we lose sight of that, when we lose sight of the one truth and the one goal and the one faith, well, then we just become a social club. We'd be no different from any other social club. Just a gathering of people with different ideas and different methods of how to get there. It's not a place where God is actively working in the world. But that's the amazing thing about churches. Churches always... A gathering of people under any other circumstances wouldn't normally be together. That's why we should always be humble. Verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. We're humble because we've all been brought together, not through anything we've done. We're brought together in spite of the things that we've done. And that's what keeps us together. And that's why meeting together is so important. As we meet, we remind each other and ourselves that we are part of one body, with one purpose and one goal, holding on to one truth. That is why we meet. So it's unity in spirit. The next thing we see in this little section is that we're thoroughly equipped as a body as well. As a church, as a body, we've got everything we need. Every tool is already there for us. Because in God's grace, he's equipped his church with everything. Everything it needs. It's picked up from verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. Verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works or service so that the body of Christ may be built up. This little section here in verse 7 and 8, what he's talking about is in Christ's victory over death and evil and unrighteousness was like it in the Old Testament times where they'd go out to war and they'd conquer a country or a city and then take all the people, all the goods as captive, and then they'd bring them back and distribute them to the people in their homeland. And that's what this passage is saying. Christ's victory over death and evil and wickedness is complete, and he's taken the plunder, he's taken all the good things, and he's distributed it to his people to use for their benefit. And what is that plunder? What's the plunder that he's essentially gathered and distributed? Verse 11. So Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. This doesn't mean that we all carry out these different roles. Rather, it means that through the work of all these in the past, the church is thoroughly equipped throughout the ages to carry out this role and function. We've all, sitting here and standing, we've all benefited from someone's teaching, someone's pastoring, or from the apostles' writings, or from an evangelist. We've all benefited from that in one way or another. And therefore, verse 12, we are equipped, verse 12, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. By definition of you being in church today means that you are equipped because you have Christ in you. And that will look different for each of us. Everyone is equipped in a slightly different way. And so if we are all equipped to serve in the church, we need to find out what that might look like for each of us. It doesn't necessarily mean that we can only find something that we like or are good at. But it might mean that we need to do something that's needed. And the beauty of having a church and being part of God's body is that we are thoroughly equipped. Therefore, we can use the resources that God has given us. If we can't do something, then someone else maybe can. Or someone might know how. If we don't know something, someone else will know it. But the point is, as a body of people, as a group of different people with different skills, we can ask each other. And we can talk to each other and collaborate together. Because Christ has equipped all of us. Not all of us in the same way, but as a body, fully equipped to carry out his purposes. The carol services were just a great example of that. Everyone got involved, everyone played their part, and it was wonderful to watch. And people saw that, people that came. Unity in spirit, with one goal through one truth. And realizing that we're thoroughly equipped by Christ to carry out his purposes. And therefore, to grow, what we want to attain to is maturity. We want to reach maturity, not in age, we're quite good at that already, but maturity as a state of being as a Christian. That's the next step to growth. Let's pick this up from verse 13. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Maturity simply means being steadfast in our trust in God. Maturity means holding so tightly to God's word that nothing will loosen your grip, no matter what the world throws at you. Maturity means that no matter what culture says, what the media spins, what people say, or even what the workplace throws at you, nothing can budge you from God's purpose in your life. There's no other way to maintain unity in terms of one purpose and one goal and one message, using all the resources Christ has given us, if all of us are individually just swayed by every new teaching or fad. If we were all like boats in the sea that just get tossed around when every new bit of pressure comes along, or a new bit of teaching, or something tempting, then our church would look like a mess. It would be disjointed, and we'd all be displaying different messages, and to an outsider to come in to see disunity and immaturity would just be confusing to them. It's not a place where non-believers want to come to. But the beauty is that we are all attaining that maturity, and we have that unity, and we're equipped as a church to serve Christ. Maturity doesn't mean that we're all published theologians, or that we have all the answers, or that we all become preachers, teachers, pastors, leaders. Maturity simply means that no matter what the world throws at you, you don't take your eyes off the prize, the ultimate glory of being with Jesus. No matter how painful that might be, or how attractive the world paints it, the alternatives. Maturity means riding the wave of cultural pressures. Verse 14, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Let's try and illustrate. Let's see what this looks like. Girls, do you want to come up? Here's our really expensive rope. Right, I'm going to hold on to that. You might want to wrap your hand around it. Okay? Now, no matter what I say, don't let go of this, okay? That's it. Keep holding tight. Well done. Okay? You can go sit down now.
No!
See, I gave you the permission to sit down. Okay, hold on tight. Now, put down the other page, you're on the screen now. Well done, see? Well, do you want a horse? If you let go of the rope, I'll give you a horse. Well done. I'll fly you to the Blue Ridge Mountains in Virginia if you let go of the rope. Do you want to go? Well done, girls. What else? There's a really fancy church across town. It's got really loud music and got a really nice cake. Do you want to go there? Well done, girls. Okay. Well done, okay, sit down. It's just as simple as that. It's just thinking, I don't care what the world offers or what the world tells me is better, I'm not letting go. Maturity means not letting go. Verse 15, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Maturity means speaking the truth in love, standing up for the truth. Maturity means telling people things that they don't want to hear. Standing up for God's truth at work, at home, in the public sphere, if needed. Maturity means growing in the likeness of Christ, both individually and as a body. The mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. That's got to be the target for all of us. Target is for us to grow our faith so strongly that no matter what the world throws at us, we continue wholeheartedly in terms of reaching the lost and growing this church. That's why everything we do has to be Christ-focused, Christ-centered, and displaying Christ in everything we do. Church is not a charity. Okay, yes, we are a registered charity, but that's not why we're here. Not here as a soup kitchen or a food bank. We're not here as a child-minding service. We're here as a group of people, a body of people, unified in one spirit and equipped through that spirit to build his kingdom, to gather the lost. And growing in maturity means growing in that love for the lost. That's what being Christ-like is like. Verse 16, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part plays its part. Each part does its work. We all have a part to play. By definition, being in the church means you're playing your part already. Everyone has a part to play. Everyone is welcome to play their part. And everyone benefits in their own way from playing that part. And that's how we grow God's kingdom. That's got to be our goal for this year. Let me pray. Lord, we do thank you that you have equipped the church with everything it needs, Lord, to build your kingdom. Your kingdom is the church, Lord, and that's how you are working out your plans on earth. And Lord, we do thank you that you have given us everything we need, Lord. Even though it might not look like it, we can trust in you that you have established your global church, and this church sits within that, Lord. Would you give us the confidence to keep coming to you, to keep growing in maturity and strength in faith, Lord, so that no matter what is thrown against us, no matter what the world says or what culture says, Lord, that we will stand firm and keep growing and holding out your gospel to those who are lost. And Lord, when those lost people come in to find you, Lord, would they see a church unified through your spirit in love and purpose? Amen.